listening to Chrysalis Color, the podcast. Hello, this is Jorunn from Norway.
And Christine in Canada.
With a podcast about color analysis and how it applies to you in a practical way. We'll talk about how to use your colors to make your days brighter, your wardrobe more enjoyable, and your life easier.
We'll talk about topics that we find interesting, and we encourage you to submit your questions. A podcast listing is available at chrysaliscolor.com under the podcasts tab.
Hello, and welcome to episode 40, which we have called Color Analysis Questions and Answers.
Hi, everyone. Why are we doing this topic, Jorunn?
Well, we are doing this topic because we receive so many great questions that we on our own would never have come up with, but we're so happy that someone asked them. And so these are all real client questions or from readers. We're not making them up. How about we start off with saying to our listeners that if you have a burning question about how your season's colors work or how to wear them or any other thing that you think might be something that we could answer, Christine and I, so just send them to us.
How do we prefer receiving these questions, Jorunn?
You sound so technical today. Yes, Christine, we prefer, we prefer getting the questions to our personal emails, right, Christine? We talked about this, and we will add our emails in the show notes, or people can ask in the comments, I don't know, send smoke signals, message in a bottle, whatever, as long as we get the questions, because we really do want more questions, and we will collect them all and get to them by and by.
We will. And don't forget YouTube comments. Any channel is great, as Jorunn says, whatever suits you. But many of today's questions come from YouTube and your newsletter, right, Jorunn?
Yes. Some of these questions are from my readers. Yeah. When people sign up for the general email or the bespoke email for the seasons, I invite them to write to me and share what's on their mind and ask questions. And they ask the most wonderfully smart questions. And while we're at it, why don't we just link to my newsletter sign up and to Christine's YouTube channel in the show notes so that people can find us and comment and ask questions.
That's right. And another source of the questions is the communication that we have with our clients before their in-person color analysis. So let's start with a general question that we're often asked by people of all seasons. And the answer would be the same, I think, for all seasons. The question is this: do I need to match my lipstick to different clothes?
That's a fabulous question, because this is what the fashion industry wants us to believe. They want us to go shopping. They need us to need new things all the time. So we say, I'm changing my outfit, or I get a new purse, and then I need a new lipstick, because that's what we're kind of led to believe. But we as color analysts think that, no, you don't. Your color palette is all you need, and how you want to look is in the color palette. And that's the beauty of knowing your season, is that everything goes together. You can get by with one lipstick for every outfit you own, because every outfit you own go together and goes with you. And then we could go on and on. So, Christine, I know from our conversations that you only own one blush too, right, Christine?
Yeah, one of everything, actually. It wasn't always that way. I wasn't always a makeup minimalist. I used to own all kinds when I didn't know how to get clothing colors working for me. I'd buy makeup as a nice present for myself. When I couldn't find clothing at the mall, I thought, okay, makeup might be a nice way to refresh an outfit, and you can always count on a fair bit of color choice. Well, then eventually the balance shifted. There were enough clothes that I liked and wore over and over. And I looked at other people and I thought, I really notice clothing changes more than makeup changes anyways, unless the makeup is somehow statement making, but I'm really like a more ordinary look. And so the more clothing colors I found, the less makeup I bought. And once I had a makeup color I liked, I just stopped shopping. And what a relief. I mean, that job was done and done for good. So you do circle back to the start because colors are always discontinued and then we're on the hunt again. But it doesn't take long when you know what you're looking for. It's just one more time around a road you know pretty well. And I wear the same makeup every day, blush, lips. I do change formulations if I'm filming, but the colors are the same. I just move over to long wear, for example, or less lipstick for filming. This could apply also to shifting from daytime to evening makeup, really. Do you change your makeup with different outfits?
I'm sorry, I get mesmerized. It's like, what is this evening makeup you speak of? I have no need for evening makeup.
Yeah, no. Anyway.
It's like, what? Parties? What's that? No. Yes. I use the same stuff every day. I might put on more of it for videos if I'm filming. I must admit I do own quite a few lipsticks, but they're mostly variations of the same shade. But you know, the point is I will use the same lipstick for everything, and I'm even wearing the same lipstick as blush. So that's another simplifying trick. My eye makeup is always the same as well. The dark shadow for an eyeliner and mascara mostly. And then eyebrow gel, same every day.
It's funny, you know, how you simplify and then you simplify some more. My eyebrow powder is now the same as my eyeshadow contour. And I'll often wear blue velvet is a really nice smoky blue violet for dark winter. And I'll wear that kind of in an intense line as eyeliner. Mm-hmm. You know, once you find your color of family, boy, the shortcuts really start popping up. So yeah, you can own a lipstick in every color in your palette. Although maybe I find green. Matching color, what?
Maybe not green.
Yeah, well, true. Though I find matching the color of lipstick to clothes or accessories, like red that's obviously the same exact red or pink, maybe that's a little, I don't want to say fussy, but it for me, that feels a little rehearsed somehow.
Do you mean kind of like it would look a little too matchy-matchy?
Yeah. Maybe the various people who asked this question, because we are asked this often, meant different things. Some might have asked if the lipstick has to be very similar to the clothing, and others just whether they even need to own many lipsticks. So then comes, well, what do you want to look like? I like the look of, I didn't have to think about it, just happened this way better, like the almost an accidentally amazing color that doesn't really catch the attention. It's just part of the look. That's very personal though. Makeup I love to see on other women is just adding more of who she already is. So that already narrows down lipstick to a real lips kind of color. Whole palette's the same warmth, the same brightness. But me, I find there is a smaller range or happy place within the palette of darkness level, but I'm pretty sure I'm getting away from what the person asked or the people asked. Also, you know, something I love more and more about color is seeing what colors can do together. So I might prefer when lips and clothes are different, at least in certain outfits. It's just kind of interesting. And so this is one of those, there's just no rules. You do what pleases you on that day with that outfit.
Yes. And speaking of rules, I would like to add that there's nothing wrong with having different lipsticks for different outfits. If that's your thing, you do it. Lots of people have, you know, they like having different purses. They have like a collection of handbags, and they can wear a different handbag every week, every day. Or some people have a thing about shoes. They love to have different shoes. There's nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. It's just what makes you happy?
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
let's move on to some questions that relate to specific color analysis seasons, starting with bright winter. A question that I got was, How can I be an introvert and still somehow pull off the bright winter colors? And adding in a parenthesis, as well as how to gradually push the comfort zone here.
Well, this sounds like your question. All those many years ago, I mean, gosh, I think it was 10 years ago now. So how did you simplify the problem? How did you come at the problem to answer it?
Yeah, that's true. I've definitely been there, done that. And in my color analysis practice, it's something I see often when I have bright winter clients. And I can so relate to it. I can understand it so completely. Because when you first look at the fan, all those bright colors together can be a little intimidating, almost scary. And you just can't imagine putting together our actual outfits with the colors, you know, at least not when you're starting out. And it feels like somebody's telling you you might have to wear all of them at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And then you, I think, approached it by just wearing small areas of bright color and casual styles, right? You're still enjoying mm-hmm. color. And I think it's a way that works for all brights or anybody really learning their season is start with baby steps, start in small items. When colors feel like too much or too big, try smaller areas, try some shoes with bright laces, try a gray or neutral fleece with a pink zipper from your seasons, or start with just wearing neutrals. Yarn loves neutrals, wears a lot of them. So wear it. And then if there's a clothing category or appearance category you love, like lipstick for Yorin or jewelry like me, then add color there. And so over time, Yorin, has color become more comfortable? Because I'm pretty sure, well, it's going to be a yes, but answer. Is that true?
Well, yes, but you know me so well. Anyway, I it's an absolute yes. Color has become more comfortable. Cracking the code for me was to discover that I could wear one at a time. And now I own a bright red silk shirt. I have a really bright yellow cardi. I have a coral sweater, but I don't wear them together.
Did you decide at the start that if you wore bright color, you had to dial back lipstick or you had to dial back some other color?
Dial back lipstick? Never. I can't believe you even ask. Anyway, I guess for people in both the two bright seasons, dialing back lipstick would mean wearing lipstick of the same color intensity, but a more transparent formula, or wearing an opaque lipstick more transparently, like you're very good at explaining, Christine. You say that you can have the opaque lipstick and you put it on very lightly combined with lip balm. And I always like to just kind of use it as a stain, applying it with just a fingertip. That's another way to make it very light and transparent without compromising intensity. What you asked, two things, didn't you? You asked to dial back lipstick or dial back some other color in clothes. In clothes, I would wear a bright color together with my neutrals. I guess that's my answer to that. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't dial back the intensity.
Yeah, which is something that probably does apply more to winters and maybe most to brights compared mm-hmm. to other seasons, meaning it is true that looking at a lot of those colors all at the same time is visually a lot to process and that you can't figure out what you're looking at. So mm-hmm. it's completely normal to dial back color somewhere else if there is one bright color or one bright color in a little tiny area of brightness elsewhere. I think the answer to that is yes. Back in the days, because I've kind of been with you through this process, back in the days when you were even learning to just wear one bright color, was part of the progress forward, you know, like get past yourself already, you know, get over yourself. If you got compliments in one bright color, well, you could start there. And then over time, it doesn't feel like so much. And then you choose another color. For a lot of people, the color family that's a good place to start might be blue. Springs, maybe the easy place to start might be coral. But was part of this, you know, kind of an internal...
get over it.
Yeah. Well, struggle with yourself, you know?
Yes, I know. I think that's true. It is important and to take time to get to know your colors. And that's a kind of a fun part of discovering your season. I like the project that you have been referring to sometimes about focusing on one strip of your fan and then go hunting for a piece of clothing that harmonizes with that. That's kind of a fun way of broadening your horizon and flexing your color muscles. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with wearing a lot of your colors at once, that, you know, if that's your thing, they do go together in perfect harmony. And whether you wear one color and dial it back by wearing neutrals or other colors, it's just another way of expressing your personality.
Yeah. Once you've got your palette, it's really just do mostly what you want with it. So if you did have a print with 10 of your colors in it and you just felt great wearing it, well, that's absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think that there comes a point where you just have to think what's beautiful to your eyes. And how you feel like wearing it is good. I like that thing about focusing on one strip because you're right. You look at the whole palette, it's 65 brightly colored dots and your eyes are kind of zinging around and they're all the same size of area. So somehow you got to make sense out of this. And it's probably true of everybody learning their season, right? Oh my gosh, 65 of these. And if you look for one at a time, you don't have a lot of context. It's a good place to start, but the color's got to work with the whole palette because it's got to work with all of you. And you can look for a whole color family. But I mean, really, if you had to look for your two or three red strips, tricky, that's a lot to filter through in a store. But if you had to look for just one strip, one color family, and a color that could fit into that one strip, for me, the odds of success were really good. So yes to that. Another way of expressing your personality is how you choose to wear your palette.
Yeah, I think that's super. Okay, moving on. We have one more question in the winter category. And funnily enough, that's also from a bright winter. And we're hoping to get more questions from other winters that we can take in our next question and answer session. One bright winter wrote to me and asked about choosing eyeglasses for herself. And Christine, we dedicated a whole episode to eyeglasses for the different seasons. That's the episode that we did with Debbie Rushmore as our guest. So I think we'll refer people to that for a detailed answer to this question. But knowing us, Christine, we'll always find something to say here and now. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we can. I mean, her name was Debbie Rushworth, actually, who is our...
I'm so sorry.
Not at all.
That's Mount Rushmore. Excuse me. I am so sorry.
Debbie would not mind. Debbie is our color analyst in New Brunswick in Canada.
And she's so kind. Debbie Rushworth.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. Lovely. Who is also a bright winter, by the way. And I mean, this was, I think, our topic in episode... three. I mean, it was a long way back.
No, 23.
Oh, 23. Pardon me. So thank you for correcting me.
Yeah. Number three was the video, the one on Wim. Well, never mind.
They accumulate, don't they? And it's hard to put them in the timeline. And then we mentioned eyeglasses again in other places. I did it in the YouTube on Women Going Gray. Anyways, we'll drop all those links in the show notes. And personal opinion, nothing more than that. I can be distracted by a lot of color in frames, eyeglass frames, even when they are in the same season as the same person. Again, my opinion, soft season colored frames are less distracting to me. They don't seem to be as far in front of the eyes as bright season. And so I like neutrals. For bright winter, I find Black is a little stark, very person dependent, but there's something a little hard about pitch black, and also maybe not super interesting, but it depends a lot on the frame, like a cat eye shape, plastic, so a bit of a softer shine, sparkles at the temples. That's interesting in a good way, and for reasons other than color. Black handbag could be the same thing. There's just more that goes into appearance and items than color alone. So yes to neutral, no to black. What I like it with black winter, bright winter, is the way I picture their black is shimmering coal. Like if you had a piece of coal and it's kind of shimmering, that's the picture that's in my mind. And I think that'd be awesome as eyeglass frames, not too shimmery. You don't want it more shimmery, let's say, than the eye makeup, and for sure not more than the eyes. Navy, that's possible too, but there's lots of pigment in this navy and it can compete with eyes. You have navy glasses, actually, Yoren, but they're not really bright blue. They're bright navy.
Yeah, they are. And sometimes I wear those darker, bolder navy eyeglasses when I can't be bothered to put on eye makeup, because then it can be a conscious choice, you know, to use eyeglass frames as a statement and focus point. And I've actually got a blog post with a video there where that was part of the point. And we'll put a link in the show notes for that.
Yeah, I mean, they're not just a statement, but they put eyes on your face, or they kind of, well, it's a focal point, right? They define where the shape of the eye is. I see that with myself. It always surprises me in the YouTube videos, because I wear my glasses when I'm looking at the images. And then I take them off when I'm looking at the camera and talking to people. I really look less awake or more blended. You know, my daughter one time showed me a picture of a raccoon, and the caption, and it had the black around the eyes, was taken out of the picture. And the caption was, "What women feel like without eyeliner." It's so true. So glasses are a kind of handy face accessory just to frame the eyes, and not particularly statement making. They just put eyes on your face.
Yes, it's a focal point, like you said. And bright doesn't have to be bold. And we use the term bold, and I'm sure all our listeners can see me making these
ears.
Yes, the rabbit ears with my fingers, right? Yes. And we use the term bold in a very broad sense, and because it doesn't have to look like something Elton John came home with when shopping for eyeglasses. Bold for, yeah.
What do you mean, Yoren? Do you mean like purple in a...
Yes, with feathers on them or
Oh, that part I got. I know what you meant about Elton John. But I was wondering what you had in mind with using bright winter colors, but not coming across as bold. So if we just pick a color, let's say purple, which I personally think looks amazing on bright winter. Let's say they're blue violet. Goodness, mm-hmm. That's like one of the top three. Also, dark teal, another top three for bright winter. Yep. I could picture them as eyeglass frames, but I'm wondering, just because they're so native to the population, they look amazing on every bright winter I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of bright winters, but I just would like to know what you have in mind when you say bright winter color, but not bold. What are you picturing?
I have no idea what I'm picturing.
Okay.
I'm thinking when you said that about the teal and the purple, I think those are perfect examples of they're bright winter colors, but they're not flashy.
Gotcha. Okay. I see what you mean. So maybe color that's a little bit darker, because dark color just doesn't come across quite as maybe.
Well, yes, and not wildly. I mean, I can't choose the words, but I'm thinking bright fuchsia eyeglass frames. That would be over the top, in my opinion.
That'd be all I could see.
But what the teal green. That medium navy blue, mm-hmm. those are better, but how to describe which ones are better. I think actually it's so personal. And
I think so too. For me, the two that are just slam dunks on every bright winter are medium blue violet and the darkest blue green. But every person will have others that are absolutely fabulous. Mm-hmm. And also the color and shine, I mean, they don't have to be surrounding the eyes. They can be positioned at the bars, which I kind of enjoy in eyeglasses because you get like a little bonus when the person looks to the side, like how sometimes you can pick up an eyeshadow highlight or a cheek highlight when they look to the side, the things we don't know other people see. Eh? Do you prefer mm-hmm. plastic or metal frames for bright winter?
I don't have a preference for bright winters. I think both could be very equally nice. Plastic could have the advantage of it could be a little transparent, and that's a fun thing for a bright winter. But if you're going to have only one pair of eyeglasses, I would suggest picking a neutral. And let's repeat, because I do agree with you, Christine, that black can be too harsh for a bright winter, and a better neutral might be rose gold, which I was surprised by how good it looked. I knew rose gold was a thing for bright winters, but it really is smashing if you can find it, because silver can be a little too not harsh, but a little too cold, and the there's something about the rose gold that has a bit of that spring softness in it.
What surprised me about your rose gold frames is that I kind of don't notice them, or not in a way that I find distracting. I look and I think, oh, those are pretty. And I agree that little touch of color lifts them a bit, where mm-hmm. silver depends again on the shape and the person's hair color and all sorts of things. Maybe not quite as interesting. That said, I'm thinking about bright winters who are very near true winter, and there's an awful lot of those folks. Mm-hmm. You'd want to try both, I guess. You used to also have rimless frames, and they looked great.
Yes, I know. I liked them. I love them, but they're very small, so I just couldn't get progressive lenses that would fit. So I have the reading glasses in them now, but rimless is super big. And then you put the interest in the rods on the side. Mm-hmm. Super. So moving on, let's look at a question from an autumn. And this was a dark autumn. She says, and I quote, "I don't care for the photos and suggestions for outfits I see on various Pinterest boards for dark autumn. Brown, rust, green, and burgundy seem to be the go-to combinations. I would like outfit inspiration from the other less predictable colors in the dark autumn palette, such as blues and creams." And I think we can both agree to congratulate this woman for wanting to think outside the box, but what else can we respond here, Christine?
You know, I hear you about those standard presentations in any season, and they're not always inspiring, or you get to the point where you've seen them enough. Other way around, though, if items were shown to folks in their most glorious presentations, they might feel out of reach for people for other reasons. So I think maybe it's better to start with the basics, step one first. Once you can recognize the colors, then you can level up texture and style. You can look for prints and combinations. So much of the beauty and the power of colors is what they can do together, like a single note played on a piano. Geez, it's like, yeah, I get that already. Move on. Two notes, three notes. Well, now it's getting interesting. So good on you to get outside that box and apply it not just to colors, but to combinations, like an outfit with, let's say, cognac brown or rust, mossy green, and dabs of bright mustard. In the same proportions as might appear in your eyes, that would be magnetic. You know, I also hear you about repetitive color presentation in social media and also in stores. Rust, teal, burgundy, green, every September where I live, year after year. Is Norway that way, Jorin?
Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Same thing? Yeah.
Yeah, same. Yeah. that those colors are all around every fall.
Every fall.
Like the fashion industry has agreed that in September, the whole population turns into autumns.
Gosh, so I suppose if you're in autumn, buy your entire year's wardrobe then, just like everybody else does, right?
Yep, that's a good tip.
In their time of year.
Yes. And also to this person, I would like to say that you don't have to like all the colors in your palette. And you, Christine, you're kind of lucky. I think you are one of the people, well, I think you're the only person I know who you like absolutely all, or seem to like all the colors in your palette. Is that true? Or are there colors that you don't care for in the dark winter fan?
The light blue violets in matte or even dull fabrics, I haven't seen that color in any other kind of textile. And so don't give up on a color if you've only seen it in a textile that didn't look great or a design that didn't appeal to. So, and I wanted to learn my season because I do like it. I see how very representative it is of me. So I decided I was going to learn the warm side of my season because I understand what true winter looked like and how it applied to dark winter, but the warm colors would surprise me. And these were the ones I had never noticed in my palette. And then when I started looking, you know, you'd see them and I'd think, has this been here all along? How did I miss this for all these years? So like I said earlier, I started looking for one palette strip at a time. You cannot realistically keep 65 colors that are kind of new to you in your head all the time. It's like trying to keep the ingredients for 65 recipes in your mind all the time. Like you just can't really do it. Then once I saw them in the right fabrics or garments that I liked wearing, oh, then I liked them quite a lot. And some of them, I don't even mind anymore if they're close enough, like dark olive green or, well, I mean, any dark green, I just really like it. So yeah, good on you to explore the rare colors, to notice them. But don't overlook the traditional ones. Just wear them in unusual combinations, say dark green and coral pink, or break that need darkness somewhere in every outfit rule, of which I'm sure I'm a big proponent, and just wear all cream because you bring the darkness yourself. And you also got to factor in makeup in an overall look and hair color. Another thing just to put on your radar is textures you don't expect, like brown, the world's most functional color, right? And in autumns, what are you going to picture it in? Leather, shoes, which is fine. But what if it were a sheer decorative fabric that shimmered? So stir the pot using all the effects that color can have, because we see color differently depending on the textile. And then style, right? Sheepskin lining in a leather bomber jacket. Burgundy velvet, if that's your style. They might not appear in Pinterest, but I mean, my goodness, caviar satin is crazy what a knockout that can look like.
I know. And also be sure that your dissatisfaction isn't coming from the fact that you didn't like, what you didn't like was actually the style or texture.
Yes.
And I think especially on Pinterest, there's so many styles. And maybe not all of them are to your liking, and that can distract you. And anyway, I recommend people watching, because you see real clothes on real people. Like recently, a woman whizzed past me. She was wearing a long rust coat, tall mahogany suede boots, and then teal jeans tucked into the boots. It was smashing.
Yeah, it is what you do with it. And maybe just going back to what Jorn just said about Pinterest and styles, record yourself, listen to what the words you're saying when you look at a Pinterest board. And I'm saying this, and I wonder if you've had this client experience too, where a woman is looking at the various pictures on Pinterest or the colors in her palette. Jorn, maybe you've had this experience. I wouldn't wear this. I wouldn't wear this. I wouldn't wear this. Slow down. Slow down. What aspect of it is it that's bothering you? And is that something that every one of these things you wouldn't wear has in common? Because sometimes when you're on the 20th, I wouldn't wear this and I wouldn't wear that. There's something else going on. Would you agree with that, Jorn? Have you had this experience? I wouldn't wear this. I wouldn't wear this. I wouldn't wear this.
I've seen clients in, you know, in their first expression, you know, for their first meeting with their fan. Yes. But like you say, when you slow down and take one at a time, then then they usually, then you come to terms with it. But I like what you're saying. I think it's a very interesting.
Well, like what's bugging you exactly? And what would feel better if you want boudoir looks, or you find the looks just have not as much sex appeal as you would like? That is fixable. And it's fixable in any palette, I think. The palette's so technical, right? It's like a diagram of car parts compared to the beautiful car in your driveway that all the neighbors, you know, are looking at, not related to what it costs. It's just a beautiful piece of design. And so there's this spread between ink swatches on canvas, which is what the palette is, to basic garments, to those colors. There's a lot of distance, and maybe the distance is the biggest for dark autumn. Like this came from that. I always feel this way about wedding gowns in soft summer too. You're kidding. This is what soft autumn white can do. Soft summer white, pardon me. How is it possible? And also, it's why I like interior design images, because you see a lot of moods, the Moroccan designs, you know, it's just, they're combining oranges and reds and blues. So, okay, if you can't find it in clothing, that's fine. Then show it to me in something else. Help me understand it in something else. And then you start putting together the story of the Persian palace, you know, the tent in the desert, dark autumn colors. Oh, they tell all those stories.
So what you're saying is that looking at interior design can be just as inspirational as people watching. That's an interesting idea, intriguing.
Well, you know, it's kind of whatever floats your boat. I mean, different things work for different people, but it's like the blue and the cream the reader mentioned, a dark autumn blue rug and a cream couch. Wow, you know, and then you've seen it and now your eyes learn what they're looking for. They know what that relationship looks like. And if pictures and clothes aren't always available, like try finding summer celebrities wearing summer colors. Well, that's another way to reward your search. Back to Pinterest too, something else that came into my mind, dark autumns, whites, they're light beiges. They're so incredible, but I rarely pin them because I'm not sure enough of the color. And on my boards, the images link back to current retail. And so I wouldn't want someone to buy something at comes in the mail. How often has this happened? It's not what you thought it was. And this happens with every color, including white. Lots of other boards, though, that have gorgeous clothing ideas that really leave me speechless. It just saturates the senses in a good way. Let's move on to our next season, which is light spring. And the question the person asked was, how do I find clothing in these colors in stores, especially during the fall and winter? Well, gosh, both light seasons ask this question often. I think everybody does, really, in their own category. It doesn't take too long for winters to say they have enough black and summers to have a closet full of blues. So we're all searching. We're all looking for getting better. But light season colors, first point, I think, is light season colors is not the same as light colors. And so some thoughts. Looking for every color in your palette, shopping online in a wider range of stores would be my first tip that serve other locations. So international stores, for example, they're good because they have a big inventory and often the shipping is, if not looked after, then they have figured it out and they have figured out returns as well.
Yes, the shipping has become easier and easier online. And I would like to add that you can do your shopping at any time of the year. You don't have to buy your next holiday dress in November. You can buy it in the summer when you're on a cruise or on a summer holiday. Buy your Christmas or Hanukkah outfit in March. Why not? That's when a light spring will find her colors in the stores.
Why not? Right? It's just a way to spin around the way you think about things. I live in a holiday location and a lot of the clients I saw this summer were people from far away who had a color analysis as part of a holiday. And this is really just the same thing. Change up the timing and when you do your shopping, relax the rules on that a little bit. Next idea. This applies to everybody, I think, not just light seasons. Understand what you're looking for. We talked about it with Dark Autumn too. Know it's hard to shop when you don't know what you're looking for. And I wonder if everybody has a better grasp of some of their colors than others, partly because there's repetition to colors shown for any given season online. I find light seasons understand their light to medium colors and their blues very well. What they don't always understand are their darks or their neutrals, and even the greens and violets, color categories that feel a little more complicated, and they are, especially with violet. I find them complicated too. So you need to have something to work with to help point out those colors, and then it gets a whole lot easier. And so something that helped me both in colors and neutrals was having the fabrics in my hand, and you can buy these kits to purchase, and boy, does that help your shopping. So it's available in the show notes. And then you get to see what a little dot of ink on canvas looks like in fabric. Then you go in the store and you've got a target.
Yeah, that's good advice. And like you said, we'll put a link to those fabric swatches in the show notes. And what you said, I think is very important. Do realize that you have darker colors, even if you are a light season. Like you said, Christine, you're a light season, but it's not necessarily all light colors. And those darker colors in your palette, they're out there in cold weather clothes. They really are. And then you just combine them with a scarf in one of your medium or light colors. And not every light spring has noticed the lovely grayed khaki that is on the light spring color fan, just as an example. Mm-hmm. It's brighter than autumn khaki. And maybe people are so afraid of showing up in autumn colors that they kind of swear off khaki altogether. But there is a version or two that you can try, and very, very possible to find in real clothing. And boy, does that set off the apricot of the light spring very beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's really true. Sit down with your palette and make yourself notice the colors you've never seen before. The next point, again, is just mostly about recognizing our own shopping patterns. We have a tendency to buy what we're good at recognizing. Then we end up owning our 10 favorites or buying them over and over again. That was certainly me. And then missing what's been sitting there all along. So becoming aware of every color in your palette, and depending on the design of your color palette, there may be an entire level of lightness or darkness that you lose under the rivet. You have to open the thing all the way out into a full circle, basically, to see every color on the strip. So look at the colors out at the ends of the branches. I'm saying they may feel quite new to you.
Yes. I'm sitting here thinking, owning your 10 favorites. And I'm thinking, what is the problem? This is my simplifying nature coming out. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's also something to be said about challenging yourself to look at those, the colors down at the bottom close to the rivets. That's usually some gems hiding there. Mm-hmm. And I would like to add that thrift stores are a great place. It's a super resource because they have such an abundance of brands and styles and very untraditional colors. You can find things there in colors that you don't see in the current retail, and that's pure gold. And I think these days thrift stores are popping up everywhere, even in the small town I live in, you know.
Oh, yeah. Too. Mm-hmm. Same here, thrift store. I mean, it's most of my wardrobe because you've got preppy brands, international brands, regular styles, luxury boutique types of thrift stores. And also if you sew or knit, because I know Joran is a knitter, that opens up a whole other world. I suppose too, you know, because the person asking the question is a light season for warm weather clothes, which is the bigger challenge, I think, for the light seasons. Sewing and knitting is something to really explore. The other thing is accessories to bridge a gap. Like, for example, say you are a light spring, but you're very close to light summer. I have a neighbor who is that person. Or let's say you are in light spring, but having trouble finding colors. You might look to the lighter colors. So the light spring, maybe you could wear the warmer colors of light summer. You might wear the lighter colors of true spring, either far from the face or with an accessory like a scarf, because the neighbor seasons, they share so much more than they differ with light spring. So if you're having trouble finding certain colors, look for them in the neighbor seasons and you'd find a version you could wear, I think, probably really well.
Mm. And I think this goes for all seasons.
Yes.
You know, the seasons within a group, like the springs, that they share more than they differ. I think that's important to point out. Well, I have another question from a light spring here, and this one is about jewelry. So she asks, I once read this about light springs and believe it to be true. My jewelry must be lightweight, so that is how I buy it. If I can feel it, I have to remove it immediately when returned home, even rings. Have you heard that expressed by light springs? Would we ever see chunky jewelry on light spring? Go, Christine.
I think that the perfect choice in any item is somewhere at the intersection of season and everything else, because the things we wear are more than about just color. Season is just about color. So for light spring, silver, gold, both fine. Shiny or satin finish, both fine. Keeping the gold light in color, meaning not dark or brassy or vintage. Keeping the silver not too blue, like no chrome reflections. Compared with the other 11 seasons, I agree lightweight jewelry is attractive because it shares something about spring's mood, that sense of lifting and floating like dandelion seeds on the wind or even a colored parachute. Spring is, to me, it's kind of always up, up and away. A lot of the facial features are kind of up, up and away, like the edges of the eyes, for instance, or the corners of the eyes, compared with, let's say, autumn, because it's all comparative, which speaks another language. Whereas weight, especially in the density of metal, can sometimes look a bit blocky, but there's more to a person and what they wear than their colors. Jewelry shape and scale are decided by body type, and you'll find all body types in all seasons. I mean, those older areas, those older ideas, they sure exist. I had a lot of them too. I heard that winter jewelry is bold and geometric and autumn is natural on both those seasons. And I wear neither look. In fact, lightweight is what I look for in jewelry. Not too small, modern looking, but lightweight in the sense of airy, like in the sense that air would move through it. Let's say metallic shapes with open spaces. I know this is abstract. I learned it from my body type analysis, and I'll link my type's Pinterest board if you'd like to look at it. In fact, there will be all the boards. This has been, was done by Florentina Mosu at Style Science. So Transcendent is my body type, and you'll see 16 body types there, of which Transcendent is one, any of which could be a light spring. I think you're a dynamic, right?
Yes. In Florentina's Style Science system, I'm a dynamic. And according to that, my jewelry should be rather geometric, but not overly bold and big. And so it's useful to know, because when I put together those principles for my style type with the colors of my season, I have a very useful guide for choosing jewelry. But I think jewelry is very, very personal, just like outfits, or maybe even more than outfits. I think it's fair to say that anything goes as long as it's meaningful to you, because you might wear a particular cameo just because your granny gifted it to you and you feel like you're wearing a reminder of your bond with her. It has nothing to do with style, type, and season, but it's an expression of you. Do you understand what I mean?
Oh, sure. I've been asked this by bright season people who have a favorite denim jacket. It's faded. It's just faded blue. But their children gave it to them, and they want to wear it, and they will wear it. So absolutely, you know, that's just part of wearing who and what we are. And also, just to complete this for the Dark Autumn, who asked the previous question about those out of the way colors in the Style Science saved boards in that pin, you'll see that there are boards for all the seasons too. So that's a place to look that is, that may be a little bit less basic, and it's kind of interesting. So part of what the person asked was, could we imagine chunky jewelry on a light spring? Yes. On a larger scale person, let's say a strong or a dramatic build in some way, you keep the color of the metal light, but I have met those people on whom the body type, if the jewelry is too lightweight, it looks dainty, tinkly. The wires are too thin, and so they're nearly impossible to see, or the chains are too thin. You just can't see them on the scale of that body. So it looks a bit like children's jewelry and maybe less expensive than it probably is. And maybe the reader is petite or narrow, and lightweight just works beautifully for her.
Yes, and also we should take into consideration sensitivity issues. Some people are very sensitive. Like they cut out the tags from the clothes, or I've heard people who even wear their socks inside out because they feel irritated, and they will have to be super picky about the jewelry they wear as well.
Yep. My mother was this way. She could feel bracelets, couldn't stand them. So fair enough, right?
Yep. Yep. Okay. We're still in spring. Another question from a light spring. Will the light spring colors look too young or frivolous on a senior citizen? And the short answer to that is not at all. On the contrary, the older they are, the younger they look in their light spring colors. They might look like a garden in bloom if you wore them all at once, but a garden in bloom in a good way. And who wouldn't like to look like a blooming garden? So I would say that wearing your light spring colors as a senior citizen, you might look younger in the sense of more of the bloom of health, but too young? No.
Yeah, too young? No. Too young? I'm trying to decide if the question has to do with too many colors at once, in which no, light spring wears tons of colors at once and they look beautiful. Or sometimes when people say, I look too young, what they're saying is my colors are too light. And so just the same as with Dark Autumn, it's not all dark. Same with Light Spring, it's not all light. Find your medium colors, find your basics, find your darks and your neutrals, and you may find a little more grounding in those. Now, a Light Spring, that could look frivolous in true spring colors, but because the colors are animated, she can't like keep them under her face. They're jumping out in front of her. But it is almost impossible for a light spring to look, you know, woo-woo magical in her own colors. But you know, did the reader, I would be interested in hearing, did the reader or the person who asked mean, do I look too young as in all light, like baby outfits? Like, are they picturing all light pastels, which might not look young, but it might look floaty? Again, everybody wears their mediums. Everybody wears their darks just to look solid. But gosh, a pink pastel dress, an ivory jacket, that's gorgeous. That's not powdery or floaty or young or anything. It's just plain beautiful. And the season colors have enough brightness and warmth to raise the energy and to solidify or ground the presentation, because they all relate back to you.
Mm. And I think people are sometimes afraid of stepping out of their boundaries, you know, afraid of social judgment, of dressing too young. But, you know, in your colors, there's no doubt it's good for you. And isn't that precisely the point of having a personal color analysis? You receive permission to be yourself.
Yeah, you no longer manage other people's tastes.
So true. Okay, we have something to say, or we have some questions from Summers. This is through summer, soft summer, borderline. The question reads, I think I have evolved into a soft summer as I have aged. I was earlier in my life classified true summer, but the muted colors of soft summer seem more flattering to me now. And that's a very important question. I think a lot of people can relate to this, possibly not even confined to summer categories. Another way of wording this question is, can we evolve into another season as we age?
Well, or do our preferences evolve? Mm. Or if the original system was four season, client might have been a soft summer all along. I meet these people often in any color category. They were put in a true season and it is the closest, but it wasn't quite accurate enough.
Mm. True. And as our hair grays and our eye colors dull and soften with age, it's very easy. It's very tempting to decide that we need to go into another season. Yeah.
Understandable for sure. But I don't think it happens, at least in an analysis situation, because pigments would have to mutate, which doesn't make sense to me. The pigments that give you your colors, they would have to undergo mutations. And we're talking about hemoglobin. I just don't know that nature is going to go ahead and take that kind of risk with that molecule. But to be fair, I like proof if I'm going to put my foot down and say something is true. And I don't see many people or any people 20 years apart. I'm open to any possibility. I've just never seen that technically in any clients. But I have seen the reverse where the previous analysis wasn't quite accurate enough. To go from true summer to soft summer, again, technical, I know, I get it. But we'd have to soften, yep. And I know that's what people think they do. You'd have to warm up as well. It's never only about one dimension like softness. Well, I don't think we warm up with age. I don't think we would darken either, because that's another thing that would happen if you went from true summer to soft summer. Maybe soft autumn to soft summer, you might cool and soften. That's the conventional belief, but you'd have to darken and you'd have to cool so much. I just doubt it would happen. Bright winter, true winter, same. You'd have to go darker. I don't see that. I think people, if they do anything, they get a little lighter or feel better a little bit lighter. So I think the change is how we wear the same palette we always had that was correct for us. Same as when hair silvers, it's just a new iteration of the same colors. But, you know, Erin, we've said over and over that, and we believe ourselves, there's so much importance in feeling good and liking how we look. And true summer to soft summer, they share so much more than they differ in their color dimensions that if you feel better, wear it. Be careful though. Let's say you are a true summer. Let's say the original analysis was correct. Take care not to drift over to the warm side of soft summer, which is near soft autumn territory, especially near the face or with lipstick, because it changes the apparent color of the teeth, or it can do odd things to the skin colors around the mouth. So if you feel like, I probably am mostly true summer, but I like some of soft summer, that's fine. Wear the cool half or wear the cool light half. Cooler soft summer lip colors, though, they can be great. There are lots of soft summers at every age who are mostly true summer, but they're just 2 degrees softer, and they get along really well with a bit of true summer and the cool light side of soft summer. They wear the lipstick Barry, for example, on which you find on my website. Last thing about shifting seasons, don't move across the map. Go to your neighbor season, not across the circle. And circle means the map of how the 12 seasons are organized, like 12 numbers on a clock face. You can see the diagram with every episode of the podcast on Chrysalis Color and on my website under podcast tab and on Joran's website under the podcast tab, I believe. I mean, a true winter, not going to go down and become a soft summer, I don't think. They won't cross the circle like that. Would you agree, Joran?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You might wear some of the colors, but that's not so you're going to become a softer season. It's just more acceptance of the similarity between the colors. And again, which we say repeatedly, that this is real life and we shop in real stores and we adapt and we take what's closest, and sometimes close enough is good enough.
Yeah, very much so. And so if you can't find true summer blue, navy blue, soft summer's medium dark blue, it's going to be just fine, especially for a summer. Would I wear it under my face? No, I might not in a big area. In an outfit or as pants? Absolutely.
Yeah, it makes a big difference.
It does. Makes life easier, you know, and still successful. So that's good. From a true summer client, I saw recently an outstanding question. How do you add a pop of color without becoming all about the pop? I really love the way people phrase things because it's exactly right. First answer, know the brightness limit of your palette and stay inside it. True summer can often be thought of as softer than it actually is, more soft summer, let's say, where true summer does have some brightness or it has a range. So it's good to learn the range for your season. And the other thing is, pops of color, it depends on what you're used to wearing. And so if you're used to soft summer colors, the lighter aqua, medium rose, even yellow, which can feel quite bright for cool season people, they're going to feel like a pop. Everyone else is not going to be distracted. They're going to think, oh, that's interesting and that's refreshing. What a youthful, rejuvenating presentation. So I think every season has got a way to look stimulating or provocative with color. Maybe to, you know, what you think of as a pop depends a little bit on what others are used to seeing you wearing. Because if it's the first day they see you in makeup, you might feel conspicuous and you may get more than the usual reactions. But actually, you just pulled your appearance up to normal and right, which is not the same thing as too high over the top. Mm-hmm. And then over time, you build confidence that you're doing fine. You rely less on opinions. You trust your own palette. Mm. You trust your own opinion.
True. And if you choose the pop of color within your palette, like you say, it's going to look natural. Mm-hmm. And if it does feel like it's becoming all about the pop, it's often because a person is wearing a color that's a little bit outside of their season, a little brighter than their season palette.
Yep, that can be true, or it's a large area, or it is a shimmering textile. Whereas if you were given the very same color in a cashmere sweater, you'd be quite okay with it.
Yeah.
And then final thought here, use combinations to your advantage, meaning combine brighter colors with neutrals in an outfit, and they might be more noticeable. So if you had something that felt like a pop of color and you wore it with a very quiet gray pant from True Summer, well, you might feel like that rose color is really bright. But if you wore it with navy, so you had color with color, there it just might kind of disappear and they might balance each other a little bit better. So this will be different for different seasons, but play with the combination. What feels too bright in one might feel quite okay with the other. I think that brings us to the end of our show for today. Thank you to everyone for joining us. I really liked this format, you know, with a general question to start and then one from each of the four main season groups. And hopefully you and our listeners and Joran did as well.
Oh, I loved this. And especially because we're addressing actual issues that are currently on people's minds. And don't forget, everybody, to send in your questions. We get so many wonderful real life questions from you, and we would like to create more episodes to answer those. And we will rotate through all the seasons eventually. And our email addresses are in the show notes, and we'll keep adding your questions to our little question bank for another episode with question and answers. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back with another podcast episode with another color or style related topic next month.
So much of this information about appearance and how to use color and how it relates to you makes sense, starts to become clear so that you can apply it to the things you buy. You got to know your season. That's your starting point. And for anyone who wishes they could know, Joran will be in London, UK. Well, what are your dates, Joran? The first week of October, I want to say, and how do people contact you for that?
Well, look up my website, nordicsimplicity.com, and there's a link there to the London appointments that are still available.
Perfect. Okay, because you don't make this trip often. I know you like it. I know you're going to do it more often, but travel being what it is, it is such a unique chance to find out your season and then to join the conversation. So thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Jorunn. We look forward to our next episode because we're back in the saddle now. We should be putting episodes up once a month, right?
Yep, we will.
Okay. All right. See you next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.